This is Like Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. If voters had not approved a multi-million dollar tax referendum for Milwaukee Public Schools in April, the district would have been in a dire situation. That's according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which analyzes the MPS budget each year. The superintendent's $1.2 billion budget for the upcoming school year is being described as a placeholder plan. It doesn't take into account any financial losses caused by the COVID-19 crisis. The district is now deciding how to spend $57 million of new referendum money in the upcoming year. Leaders billed the referendum as a way to give students the schools they deserve. But Ann Chapman and Rob Hankin of the Policy Forum say the tax increase might end up being more of a life raft, keeping the district afloat, than a transformational infusion. They spoke with WUWM education reporter Emily Files. Chapman starts by talking about MPS's plan for the $57 million in referendum funding.
Almost half of it is to fund just retaining and, they say, attracting and retaining staff, but it's really for salary schedules for existing staff. That's an important priority for MPS, something that makes absolute sense for them to prioritize, but it's not new transformative programming or initiatives. So then the rest of it are things that they're investing in areas that they've lost ground on over the years, or that they're trying to increase capacity for, you know, in-demand, high-quality programming that they do have, like arts, music, access to international baccalaureate and other advanced studies, you know, access to school counselors and psychologists. Like, these are all really important priorities for the district to be able to invest in. But the worry or the concern that we sort of cite is that when you look at the revenues that they're going to be getting as a result of the referendum, and you plug that into their five-year projections, you can see that they're still projecting pretty sizable structural gaps going into the future. And that's not even taking into account the new initiatives and the new investments that they're proposing in this first year of the referendum, you know, spending. So, you know, it just begs the question, how sustainable will the new initiatives be when just taking into account that revenue by itself and not the spending? They're still, you know, seeing some big gaps in the future.
Right. So you mentioned that in this first year, MPS is getting $57 million in new revenue from the referendum, and about half of that is going towards new salary schedules that were approved in the last budget cycle by the newly elected school board. There was a strong push from the teachers' union to bring those pay scales back as a way to retain talent and attract teachers to all of the vacant positions that MPS has. But you point out the district hasn't been transparent about the year-over-year cost of those pay raises, and it hasn't explained to the public that a significant piece of the referendum money will be supporting those salary schedules as opposed to new programming. So can you talk about that and how the salary schedules will increase spending in future years?
And I think it's very important to be clear here, Emily. To the extent that we're making a critique, it is not with the notion that MPS needed to do something about teacher compensation in particular. I don't think there's any question that MPS has a very difficult task in terms of attracting and retaining the best and brightest teachers. And so that's not the quibble. The quibble is that this new compensation framework was approved last year prior to the referendum. And at the time that it was approved, district leaders really did not know where the dollars were going to come from to support the new structure, justifiable though it may be. And so that's where there could have been more public discussion about this big need. And in the run-up to the referendum, it could have been made more clear that part of this was to support a new compensation framework that had already been adopted, in addition to doing some of these other very important things the district plans to do in terms of adding to the teacher workforce, particularly in specialty areas, and being able to sustain that momentum in terms of attracting and retaining teachers with a sound compensation framework.
And has the district released numbers or factored numbers into this budget document that show how much the salary schedule will increase costs over the next few years?
In their five-year projection, they state in the budget document that there's a growth on the salary and benefit line of about $76 million over the next 5 years, and they attribute most of that to salaries, the growth in the new salary schedule. So that cost line, that is the biggest line in their budget, is going to grow much faster than inflation and likely their revenues.
It makes you wonder how long the district can sustain the new salary schedules if it takes a big hit because of the crisis.
And I do think that's one of the big takeaways from our analysis, particularly if you look out now over 5 years, there is certainly a question as to whether the line items that on their face appear to be very exciting for MPS, assuming they can actually identify and hire the staff that they're planning to hire, that in future budgets, if several things break the wrong way for the district, it certainly is a question mark whether those new positions could be sustained.
So in this first year with the referendum revenue, about $26 million is going towards these salary schedules, but a significant amount of the referendum would also be used to fund new positions. It allows the district to add more than 200 positions if the plan proposed by the superintendent were approved. You were looking at how those new positions would impact areas like the number of librarians, the number of art and music and physical education teachers. What does that picture look like?
If you look at some of the individual investments that are detailed in the referendum proposal, there's some significant increases in staffing in areas that have long been documented to be high need for MPS. If you look at the number of librarians that they're adding as a result of the referendum, it's about 77% more than they have in the baseline budget. So that's significant. That's going to make a difference. If you look at their investment in early childhood teachers, that's about 25% more than they have right now in their budget. Same thing for school nurses and music teachers and art teachers, about 20% more. These are pretty unprecedented investments in these particular areas compared to years past.
So there's definitely some good news with what the referendum might allow MPS to do for its students, but there are also a lot of challenges on the horizon. Some of them are certain and some of them related to COVID-19 are uncertain. So can you explain some of the challenges that we know about, like the loss of integration aid, declining enrollment, facilities?
There's a real looming problem here because there's no answer to the question yet as to how MPS is possibly going to address its growing facility needs. There's an estimated deferred maintenance and capital repair backlog of about $180 million. In a yeoman's effort to try to preserve money for schools, they've taken money away from facilities. In the 2021 budget proposal, there would be 19 positions eliminated from the facilities and maintenance department. So there is no strategic plan yet in terms of what MPS plans to do with its facilities, which ones it will keep, which ones perhaps it doesn't need because of its declining enrollment. And as you say, another challenge on the revenue side that we haven't discussed yet is the loss of so-called integration aids. That with the state's Chapter 220 integration program being phased out, by 2023 or 2024, MPS is going to lose a net of about $24 million as a result of the phase out of that program. So that's a big so-called revenue cliff that MPS is going to experience.
there's also a potential loss of state funding because of the COVID-19 crisis. So what do we know about that, and how much does MPS rely on state funding?
In terms of what we know, we don't know much. We do know that state income and sales taxes in terms of collections have been plummeting, understandably, as the safer at home order has taken hold, and as the restrictions have remained in place, and even as they're loosening. Very few people expect those revenue streams to rebound. The question is whether that requires the state to go into the second year of the existing state budget, which begins on July 1st. K-12 school aids is the single biggest line item in the state budget. So if there are going to have to be comprehensive reductions in state spending, there is certainly a likelihood that that could impact schools.
If you were to sum up this budget in a couple sentences, how would you describe it?
Our takeaway when we first scanned the budget and considered it in context with the referendum and considered it in context with what the district faces in terms of the uncertainties around COVID and the federal support and potential state cuts, we looked at this as a placeholder budget. We felt like this does not give us a very good idea of what the district truly faces and what the range of options it has are. And it's instructive to look at the way they did structure the budget, because we can see what it would have been in the absence of all of these things. And that's instructive to see. But we couldn't assess what they're facing, and they can't either. I mean, they don't have a crystal ball either. What we would have liked to see, and I think it would have been helpful for school board members and others to see, is some contingency budgets, you know, sort of for them to say, if state aid gets cut by this percent, this is what we'd have to do. And we don't see that, and we will over time, you know, as they revise the budget in the fall, we'll start to see these things play out.
I think in many respects, this is a frightening budget for MPS, because a few months ago, before the COVID-19 pandemic arrived, one would have looked at this and said, wow, with $57 million of additional revenues coming in, maybe the 2021 budget is going to be an exciting budget for MPS, where there's finally going to be dollars to invest in so many of the areas that MPS and its leaders have been desperate to invest in. And the real frightening element here, and we don't know yet, but it's certainly possible that a major chunk of that $57 million is going to have to be exhausted filling holes that have emerged as a result of unforeseen expenditure needs and potentially revenue cuts that are going to emanate from the crisis. So as we term it, this $57 million may be more of a life raft than a real exciting element that is going to result in lots of new programming and services for MPS students.
That was Wisconsin Policy Forum President Rob Henkin. You also heard from senior researcher Ann Chapman. They spoke with WUWM's education reporter, Emily Files. The MPS board is set to vote on the budget at a meeting Thursday night. They'll also decide on a handful of amendments that could increase spending on employee wages and programs for students.